Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good glorious day to you. Happy to have you back here again to the No BS Bishop. I'm Alive to Love. All lesser values are potential BS. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I love doing what I'm doing in this broadcast and sharing my heart and my thoughts with you about the highest value, the highest treasure, the most important journey you or I will ever do or make in this life, and that is the journey of love to launch ourselves headlong into the beauty and the adventure that is life's purpose, and that is to love. We were born by love, for love, through love, to love. I am convinced of it. I am believing that we have each one of us been shorted on love, every one of us, and we've each one of us been given an opportunity to exchange that for a better way, a better and higher experience of love. I'm also convinced that each one of us have an opportunity to demonstrate, to show others the great beauty of love, to go on an adventure every day. Every day is an opportunity to love again, to love someone well, so that in their experience, they're discovering that love really does still happen. So last week, I started a two-part series that I will complete today, and it's on the seven foundations for a psychology of love. I don't want you to be put off by the word or the term psychology, because it is a valid research. It's a practice. When a doctor sees you for an injury or a sickness that you're struggling with, that doctor will always practice their medicine with you. Understand that no doctor is through practicing. Every doctor, in medical terms, is practicing. They're researching the disease. And in some ways, like the common cold, they know the patterns of the common cold. They know that it's A, B, and C, and there's no cure for the common cold, they say. But that comes because a doctor has been practicing along with thousands, maybe millions of other doctors down through the ages. As they have practiced, they have made discoveries about whatever the disease is, great or small. The same is true. Now listen to this carefully. The same is true about the practice of psychology. It's a practice. The difference between medical practice and a psychological practice is this: age. Medical practices are as old as humankind, thousands of years old. We've always practiced something called medicine. Now, it may have been very, very caveman-like, and thousands of years ago, we might have stuck a leech on your forehead, or we might have drilled a hole in the back of your skull to bleed out the cancer, or whatever other crude method we practiced thousands of years ago. Through practice, medical science grew. Now, since medical practice is thousands of years old, and aren't you grateful to be alive in 2020, where medical practices have evolved towards something a lot more productive? Well, I'm glad. And we have to compare that to psychological practices, which really, at the very best, psychological practices are only about 200 years old. When you really look at what we've done psychologically with humankind, it's only been seriously pursued for about 200 years. Now, if you compare medical science and the practice of medical work as thousands of years to the practice of psychological work to a couple hundred years, well, that tells you right away, psychological practice is an infant by comparison. So it's no wonder every one of us have had some bad experience with somebody practicing psychological health and some kind of clinic toward psychological health. We know that, but listen, I believe that we've got to continue to pursue good psychological health. And I'm proposing, and last week I started this, and I want to finish this week, I'm proposing that love is a vital power. It's a non-essential. We can't live without it. It's absolutely essential, I should say, to our healthy psychology. I want to present, and it started with the first three last week, of the seven foundations for a psychology of love. That love is a psychology. That love is a research of our psyche. The root word of psychology is psuche. It's a Greek word. It's a word that indicates that our mind, our will, and our emotions are very involved in keeping us as humans functioning, and hopefully functioning well. The psychology, the study of the mind, will, and emotions is imperative for us to move forward in life. I want to add that love, as that most important value to every human being, that love is deserving of an application as it relates to the psychology of life through love. I quoted last week a few times. I want to say it again and give you this quote again from Riko Dashim. He's an author and musician. Said this: live to learn to love. Learn to love to live. Love to live to learn, so that you may live the life that you yearn. Live to learn to love. Learn to love to live. Love to live to learn, so that you may live the life you yearn. I'm presenting these seven foundations for a pursuit of a psychology of health and a psychology of love and mental health, so that you can research on your own. Take these seven principles to the spiritual bank, if you will, and find a way to evolve, to evaluate your own love life. Last week I gave these first three principles, and I'll go through them rapidly. Learn how to use, number one, the power of your words and conversations in the direction of love. Make love the target of your conversations, whether it's complaints or frustrations or any other means of your conversation. Aim at love. Number two, make a commitment to a lifetime discovery of God's love and your love in response. I'll talk more about that today in another one of these seven foundations. And number three, we concluded last week with the third foundation of a psychology of love, and that is to expect love. That one, that one's important. We've got to have good, healthy expectation management in our life. This is not an expectation of demand. I expect you to love me. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is we each one have a right and a desire and have a calling on our life to expect love. That if our expectations of love have been crushed or crippled or bruised or are mangled by life, then we need to reconstruct. We need to have a good psychological therapy, like physical therapy, to learn to love again and to expect love. So with that, I want to pick up after those first three foundations of a psychology of love. I want to pick up from there and go to number four. This is in the seven foundations of a psychology for love. Number four. If you're of a mind and you are really purposed to have a life of abundance and health and beauty, then number four is a challenge to create a team of love mentorship. Find a wide variety of relationships of others around you than just people that you're otherwise always comfortable with. Find some people from other persuasions, other ideals and ideas. And listen to views from opposing sides without a need to be heard or to debate with them. This is huge, especially in our day and time here in America. Surrender the Judas ideal of attempting to win conversations at all costs. You all know, if you've been through any basic study of Christianity, you know that the ultimate villain in the life of Jesus was Judas, who betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Judas, in my opinion, this is my own view of Judas. Judas wanted it the way he wanted it, without any change or expansion of his views by Jesus or the other disciples. He had an idea that he was absolutely stubbornly insistent was going to win the day. And when Jesus and the other disciples would not cooperate with him, Judas was out to win at all costs. He was out to win his idea at all costs. And so he betrayed Jesus. That becomes now the most notorious villain story of all history. that this one and only sinless human being, Jesus Christ, was betrayed by somebody who was determined to win at all costs. But if we can, each one of us, surrender that villainy in our own life, because we, every one of us, carry the Judas germ, if you will. We, each one of us, carry the Judas possibility. If we could create, if we would just intentionally find the courage to create a team of love mentorship through a wider variety of relationships other than with the people we normally are comfortable with, and learn to listen. Oh my, talk is cheap, but listening is expensive. Learn to listen. Talk is cheap. Talk is not making way for a conversation, for a dialogue. Are you having monologues or dialogues? That would be my challenge in this. We need to learn to listen to views from opposing sides without any need to be heard on our side, or to debate and to surrender the Judas ideal of attempting to win at all costs. This is a bit of a chunk of work to create a mentorship of a team of love mentorship. And you don't have to tell everybody, hey, I want you on my team of love mentorship. But you could have that in your own internal checklist. This person, that person, and the other person. Three people. I think three is a good number because it's pretty good balance of a variety of persuasions. And in your own mind, you could have a team of love mentorship and learn how to ask those people on your team, how am I doing with my love? How do you feel about me when I'm in your presence? You can ask them, are you finding me to be impatient, or am I, how do I say this? Am I shutting up long enough to listen? And be really direct with that team. And maybe you do want to say, hey, could I need a team? I want to grow. And in fact, in that consideration, as you say to somebody, I want you to be on my team of love mentorship, you'll inspire others to do the same. Wouldn't it be grand if you got three people in your life and said, hey, would you be on a team of love mentorship and help me grow in my love life? And then those three said, wow, what a great idea. I think I'll do that. So three people get three people. Three people get three people. Three people get three people. Next thing you know, you've got several hundred people that are in some form or another in a love mentorship group. And out of all of that wisdom, out of all those experiences, out of all that pain and all of that purpose, and out of all that healing and health and life, where people have discovered how to keep growing in love and how to keep listening more than we talk. Having that kind of, oh my goodness, I'm excited talking about it. I got myself all motivated. And I do, I have a team around me. I count on their input. I listen carefully to what they say about how I'm listening and how I'm learning and how I'm loving. But I really do believe that it would be even a step forward for me as well to tell a group of people, I want you on my love mentorship team. I need to hear from you how it is I'm growing toward love. That's powerful. You know, I do a fair amount of work with people in 12 steps, the Alcoholics Anonymous 12 steps, which, in my opinion, that is a treasure trove of wisdom. If you could ever find the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and read that book, I'm telling you right now, that is a treasure trove of getting good mental health going in your life. But when I have any length of time at all to interact with people that are passionately pursuing a 12-step program of health and life and deliverance from the agony of addictions, I always find myself inspired to change every time. There's never been a time when I've had any kind of productive interaction with people in the 12-step program, but what I get inspired to change. And what that says to me about at least my nature, maybe it's bigger in a bigger picture, human nature. What I see is that when we are actively involved with other people toward mental health growth, I think it's inspiring. I do believe we all can get inspired, especially if we had a team around us to help us grow. All right. Number five of the five, the seven foundations of a psychology of love. Number five is to accept the possibility that at every level, our love will be challenged. Our love will be rejected. Our love will go unnoticed. It will be misunderstood. And it's not always going to work in a short-term project. Don't think in short-term ways when you come to love. Look at it in long-term views. And even if you love, you may have harm come your way. You have to be prepared for that. It's like learning how to ice skate. If you ever learn how to ice skate, you know your bottom is going to hit the ice hard, and learning how to ice skate is going to cause a little bit of pain on the way. And so it is with love. It's going to cause, you're going to fall flat on your butt, and you just have to decide, am I willing to get up and try again? We need to just reject any notion that there's such a thing as uninjured love, so that we can rise to the majesty of God's love himself. That the love of God is our goal. And you imagine God's love in a world of billions of people who, and on every day, there are some people routinely, raggedly rejecting the love of God. Uninjured love is a fantasy. Love will find it'll find your weakest link inside of you, but it'll also lead you to your strongest link if you'll stay committed to a lifetime discovery of love. A gentleman that wrote a book called The Four Agreements, Don Miguel Ruiz, said, "Take nothing personally." Those three words ought to be on everybody's mirror where you're shaving in the morning or brushing your teeth. Look in the mirror and remember every day, take nothing personally. Everybody's on a journey, and everybody's at different levels of their journey. And some people are in the dark pit of a rejected love. And those folks are likely to cause you harm if you take what they're saying and doing personally. To take nothing personally is a mountain to climb, but it's a beautiful view once you reach the top. Accepting the possibility that every level of our love will be challenged should lead us to remembering, take nothing personally. Number six in the seven foundations for a psychology of love is the challenge to express love in the most personally identifying ways as is possible in any given situation, to discipline our thoughts, to consider acts of love with direct relationships across a wide spectrum of friendships and relationships, to consider our availability to an act of love with direct relationships across a wide spectrum of friendships and relationships. I just saw a short video clip of an experiment that a group did about seeing how people would respond if they were in a store line, say in a Walmart or grocery store. And the person in this study who was involved goes to the checkout, and they pretend to be short on the money they need to pay for their groceries and a large pack of diapers. So in that pretense, they want to see how the people behind them respond to this. And in this case, this lady is standing in as an actor of being a single mom trying to buy some food and some diapers. Well, she's short. And again, this is a study, and that's being set up to see how people behind her respond. So she tries to pay for her groceries. She's short of money. And then she says to the checkout lady, she said, "Oh gosh, I'm going to have to leave something off of this. I tell you what, if I leave the diapers out, then I can pay you with what I've got." Well, the cashier, who is just doing their job, said, "Well, I guess so. We can leave the diapers out. Let me ring it up." Well, the study is seeing how people respond behind watching. And in the one particular video I saw, here's a gentleman standing behind watching this process, and he sees this what he appears to be a single mom attempting to return the diapers so that she can get her grocery bill down to the right size for what kind of money she has. Well, in this video, this man steps forward and says, "Excuse me, how much money do you need again?" Cashier says she needs, let's say, $25.50. And he said, "I tell you what, I've got $26. Here, let me pay for the whole everything you got there." And then the lady playing the single mom says, "Oh, no, don't do that." And the gentleman in this case said, "No, please, it would be my pleasure." So he pays her bill. She touches her heart, and she says, "Oh, thank you so much for your kindness." And he said, you're more than welcome. The cashier then takes this man's bill, which was a very small bill of like $3 or $4. And as he walks out of the store, the actress, the lady who was pretending to be a single mom, approaches him and says, sir, can I speak with you for a moment? Well, he stops and she then uncovers that this was a setup. This wasn't real, but she said, we're doing a study to see how people respond to that kind of need. And she said, sir, in reward for your kindness, we'd like to give you $200 in cash. She hands him two crisp $100 bills. He looks at it with shock in his eyes. And he said, you know, there was a day years ago when all I needed was $3 to get forward in life. And he said, somebody handed me those $3. And it changed my life. And he said, I've always decided that if I was ever in this spot to help, I would always help. Now, I'm giving a very short version of that. But can you imagine if all of us went about our life to discipline our thoughts, to consider acts of love with direct relationships across a wide spectrum of friendships and encounters and relationships. If every one of us, there used to be a movement called Random Acts of Kindness. What if we all had an intentional act of love, to consider our intentional acts of love across a wide spectrum of relationships and encounters with people? You know, every one of us, if everybody listened to me right now, if there was, say, 300 or 400 people listening at any given time, and all 300 of us said, all right, we're going to go out and do some intentional acts of love in small and maybe great ways all day long today. Folks, we could change the world expressing love in a personal and in an identifying way, personally identifying way, in a way that just aims for the heart and give somebody an experience of love, even in a grocery store, even in a gas station or a coffee shop. And seven, last but not least, in the seven foundations for a psychology of love, always remember that love will be a lifetime pursuit. It'll never be a once-for-all arrival. Love can never be so small as to remain finished at any season or station in our life. You see, the Bible says in 1 John, God is love. So love is as expansive and eternal as God. God is as vast as the universe. So then love is just as vast as the universe. Imagine all of eternity is an experience of love. And it may seem elusive. It may seem beyond our reach. It may seem like, oh, I'll never know love. Well, the truth is, in this life, we'll never know everything there is to know about love, but oh, come on, let's go after it. Let's go after it with all the intention that we can muster in any given day and go after a life of love, lived for love alone. The title of this radio broadcast is I'm Alive to Love. All lesser values are potential BS. I don't want to live in the BS. I don't want to live in it tricking myself or tricking other people, that we would, every one of us, be lovers of life, lovers of people, lovers of our projects, lovers of our callings, and lovers of God. He who dwells in love dwells in God. He who dwells in God dwells in love. And love is as expansive as God. And that means love is as expansive as the universe. And the universe is growing, folks. Oh, yeah. Right now, while I'm talking, the universe is growing at the speed of light. 186,000 miles per second. So we better catch up. Love is growing so fast that, boy, we just run fast as we can toward it. We'll still be chasing that beautiful and sometimes elusive dream. Well, there you have it. Last week and this week, I've been talking to you about the seven foundations for a psychology of love. Rico Dashim said, live to learn to love to love to live, to learn, so that you may live the life you yearn. Every week, I close with a couple of exercises, and I want to close with that exercise, those two exercises again today. And the first one is the most basic of all human functions, and that is to breathe. You know, we in the West do not breathe well. We are constantly huffing and puffing and running to the next job, the next project, when we need to just stop every so often and breathe deep and get some cadence going back into our physical rhythm. So would you do it with me? Just take in a breath, hold it, and exhale. Take another breath deep down to the bottom of your lungs. And exhale. Now take another breath, but on the exhale, I want you to say those three magic words. I love you. Go find somebody. Look them in the eye. Make it weird for a few minutes. Just make it awkward. Look them in the eye and say, hey, I love you. Drop your distractions. Put your phone in your pocket and just say to somebody, I love you. And then move on with your life and realize that love is coming back at you because you can never outgive the love of God. It'll always come back. And one last thing I want to give you is that I love you. Those are the three words you need to hear today, and I know it. And so I want you to hear it from me. I love you. Now pull yourself up out of any hole of fear or pain you're in. Find a way to step forward in life and go out and do something beautiful. Go pay for somebody's cup of coffee at a coffee shop. Go just listen to people for the opportunity to love today. Go out and do something beautiful today. Because, oh, baby, ugly, ugly, ugly has been done to death. It's time for the folks who are listening to me right now to do this project. I'm alive to love. Thanks for being here today. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'll be here again next weekend for this broadcast of the No BS Bishop.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.